Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Sunday edition. Today's date is the fourth day of January 2009. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. I'm not glad everybody's listening because it's just one of those days where, you know, world events are shaping up, ladies and gentlemen, to be some of the saddest things I've had to pay attention to in the last 5 or 6 years. I'm without words in some of these issues that I need to discuss with you today. I'm going to bring on my partner here in some of the discussions we've been having over the last few months, especially Mohammed Rafiq. We're going to talk a little bit about Gaza and about the Judeo-Nazis in Israel, and about the Gaza concentration camp, and about the murder going on in the Gaza ghetto, how they're absolutely destroying that region of the Middle East, killing indiscriminately, shelling with howitzers and high-powered artillery from afar, air strifing and gunships and the whole bit. And now, of course, troops on the ground, phosphorus weapons burning people alive, just incredible stuff. And it's typical of these Nazi Jews in Israel to do this. This is not a unique thing that these people are doing right now. They did it in the formation process of Israel. They did it in their extended groupings throughout the European theater before and during World War One and Two. Into Russia when they took over from New York, killing and starving 30 million there. Their monies helped put up the Chinese slaughter of millions in the Cultural Revolution. You know, the horror this Nazi group of Jews has inflicted on the world is just amazing. And I want to bring up my guest with me right now. Mohammed, are you with me?
I am indeed, Daryl, and a good day to you. And I have to agree with you about the general state of feeling very sad today, definitely.
I got to say, Mohammed, after watching that that video that was caught in that small area there where they were having the their daily open market, their farmer market sales, you know, people have been stuck in their homes, so you can bet that there were a lot of young women, children out there trying to get food for their families, and of course artillery rained down on them, and the carnage was absolutely horrific. And anyone who sees that, and I'm going to try to get my webmaster to put that video up, of course, I'm calling for everybody to boycott completely the use of Google and YouTube, because that is an Israeli Judeo-Nazi-run organization, and they are practicing wholesale censorship of the information we're trying to share with the world about these Nazis. And it's important that people find alternatives, Mohammed. So I wanted to interject that. And we may talk about that a little later, some of the experiences I've had with censorship from this group, but many people today. But let's go back to this attack, because you know, the clarity of the video is not the best, but you don't need clarity. You can see the severed limbs. You can hear the screaming and agony of these of people. And I saw a little child sitting on the ground with his leg missing, and horror. I mean, absolute stomach-turning horror. My wife began to cry looking at it. I was so angry when I saw it. I didn't know what to do with myself. I know you saw this yesterday. What's your take on all this, Mohammed?
It is very disturbing footage, and I would actually argue, Daryl, that the fact that it's not too clear is helpful. I actually found that the clearest version of it that I could on the net, not the YouTube redaction of it, but the first one that was put up, the guy who originally put it up on the net, and, you know, I did slow motion a couple of bits and pause a couple of bits just to try and really get to grips with what I was looking at, and I suddenly realized, because It doesn't appear clear, Daryl, and the reason for that is because the images are obscene. One man is lying face down on the ground, and you can only see the front of his face from the forehead down to his chin and where his beard is. And I was looking at this, trying to work out how the picture was put together, and I went over it a few times, and then I realized that the entire back of his head had actually been blown away.
Yeah.
And that's why it looks like that. And there was just a pool of mincemeat lying mixed with blood on the ground underneath where the back of his head should have been. And the reason that you could see underneath his face is because there was nothing there. The whole thing, of course, is very disturbing because we've had all the lies about the pinpoint bombing, as we were discussing earlier, this claim of them taking out that truck with alleged missiles on the back.
Yeah, with the gas welding truck, yeah.
It turned out to be gas welding, and the man had 8 members of his family and people who worked for him murdered. And these people, in their barefaced lie, Leibovich, I believe her name is, who's the spokesman for the Israeli army at the moment, is claiming that they had intel on this particular bomb factory for going back months, and it was a pinpoint precision attack. They just blown something up and then tried to pass it off in the mainstream media. And fortunately, we have these cameras on the ground and these contacts on the ground to show how much they're lying. But you don't have to be Albert Einstein again, Daryl, to realize that, you know, artillery fire isn't pinpoint.
No.
You know,
no.
Howitzers, tanks, they fire shells in the general direction, you know, southeast, 180 degrees, whatever. But they can't say with any degree of accuracy to within 100 or so meters exactly where it's going to land. They strafe to this market, and there's only one word, really, which is carnage. It's wholesale carnage. And for people to claim that it was some kind of a propaganda video and that it wasn't real is noxious in the it's in the extreme that these people are coming out from there, give Israel your support website and adding their comments on now professionally as part of the Sayanim network. And then, Daryl, also the Guardian putting up an image of phosphorus bombs which are being exploded in Gaza, chemical weapons.
Yeah.
Banned clearly under the Geneva Convention. This stuff is worse than napalm. You know, if this phosphorus lands on you, whereas napalm was this petroleum jelly that stuck on the skin and burnt very unpleasantly and you couldn't put it out, this stuff's caustic. So it's on fire and it's caustic, and it sinks through your skin, through your bone, and out the other side of your body over a matter of seconds if this stuff sticks on you, Daryl. And they're firing this in, and the Guardian actually put the photograph there and discussed the land offensive, but completely ignored the illegality of the weapon that was being used.
Yeah. Well, the American representative in the United Nations, which is a Zionist-controlled organ in the world structure anyway, of course, they negated any attempt at condemnation for the Nazi state of Israel. And so that whole thing went nowhere. But, you know, nothing ever has from 242 onward, Muhammad. Nothing has ever worked against these monsters. That's what they are. They're murderous monsters, and they're unable. The Israeli Judeo-Nazis are unable to live in the family of humans, in the family of man. They just can't. They are not capable of living amongst us. And what we need to do is find a way, as a human species, to get rid of this cancerous group of humans so that they can't continue to do these horrors. I mean, look, Muhammad, we have proven over and over again their involvement at their leadership level and beyond of their World War I fomenting, and of course World War II and the takeover of Russia, and of course the Armenian massacre, which the Armenian genocide and Holocaust that they were responsible for. We've gone through this, but you can go to the modern day stuff. We talked about it yesterday with. They're behind Mugabe, and new evidence has come out that Mugabe's forces are trained and supported by Mossad and by Shin Bet and by Israeli military hardware and training, no different than what has gone on in Sudan right now with the Israelis land speculating, and they're killing off the indigenous people to get the land and the minerals underneath it, like they did in the Boer War with Oppenheimer and Rothschild, using the British military to do it. Again, over and over again, the same people, same groups, same Zionist Nazis, Judeo Nazis that have been murdering us wholesale. What are we to do? What are we to do to stop them, if not to pull out all stops now? We need to capitalize. These people can't have died in vain. They can't have died in vain, Muhammad. They have to have something to show for their loss, these people.
The theology which is underpinning the mindset of these people, these Judeo-Nazis, it's a Judeo-Nazi mindset. And when we look at that, we have to come to terms with that as human beings, you're right, Darrell, and say, it's one thing for people to have an opinion that they are the chosen ones and that the rest of us are half animal. Okay, fine. You want to believe that? That's not a problem. But you want to implement that?
Yeah.
Then we have a problem.
Yeah.
You can think that. You can think what you like. I don't care. You know, you can believe what you like. It's not a problem. But when you want to implement and enforce this insane belief system, this mental illness of the Judeo-Nazi mindset, if you want to enforce that on mankind, then we can't tolerate that as human beings.
That's right.
If we're going to live in a peaceful world and have a world which will be peaceful for future generations, it is clearly not going to be possible. If we want the epitome of this mindset, this Judeo-Nazi mindset, if we really want to understand its implementation across all these great genocides of the last 100 years and now, Darrell, a single event which sums it up beautifully was the cold-blooded murder of Rachel Corrie.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Where this man sits in this enormous metal infrastructure, this caterpillar bulldozer made of the strongest hardened metals with this enormous powerful engine. And there's this little modern day Joan of Arc standing there saying, I'm not going to let you bully me. She's travelled all the way around the world to say, I'm tired of your bullying. And the bully is saying, tired, okay, next. Into first gear, crushing her to pieces, and to make sure the job's done, reverses back over her.
Yeah.
Anybody who can get into a cab, if you imagine the average construction worker who's doing some roadworks somewhere on the streets in New York or in Boston or Chicago, for people to just understand this, or here in London, and he's sat there in the cab of his vehicle and he just sees some woman walking down the pavement, he ran over her and then reversed over for a second time.
And she's in a fluorescent vest.
A clearly willful murder.
Yes.
The people would believe this man was the most horrible animal, as sick as any
serial killer
that they make up on this Silence of the Lambs, as twisted as any serial murder. But in real life, twisted to inflict this. With Rachel Corrie, the world is silent. Her family, her family don't get to celebrate at least her sacrifice. The mainstream media are the mouthpiece for this mentality.
Yes.
In that they remain silent now.
Yes.
And they try to silence us. We've been out. You know, I was playing some of the old files, and we've brought all our listenership out there. They've come along this journey with you and me and other people you've had on the show for the last 3.5-4 years. And we're all thinking the same, and we're all feeling the same out there. We all understand there is no future with an mentality of Judeo-Nazism that insists on enforcing its beliefs on the rest of the world.
Well, let's even go further here and let the people understand the connection between Jews and Nazism and the financing through Harriman Bank and through I.B. Farben for these work camps that they sent their opposition into. So the Jews were even willing, these Nazi Jews were even willing to kill their own, make deals with mass murderers in order to get their ends met. What we have is an absolute suspension of ethics in order to get everything and anything they want. A collaboration between these criminals and the Nazi regime to ship these people on Nazi-sponsored boats to the Middle East. We even have the documents that were signed. We have 160 senior officers of the SS and the Gestapo from the Jewish community. We have their money financing it. We have everything. So in other words, there isn't a dime's bit of difference between the Germans that were committing crimes in World War II and their sponsors and their helpers. Judeo-Nazi is not a term that is inaccurate. It is absolutely 100% spot-on accurate to this group. And people need to understand this group is Ashkenazi. And it's the same spelling as Nazi. That Nazi, I don't believe, means National Socialist Party. That doesn't represent the letters in nomenclature. What it represents is Ashkenazis. Think about this. That National Socialist thing, even spelled in German, does not have Nazi in it. Think about it, Muhammad.
Yep.
It, Nazi comes from Ashkenazi.
They've certainly got Nazi in their title.
They do indeed, and you know, here's the worst part about it. There used to be a vocal minority, but a larger minority. It was not nearly a majority, but there was 30-40% of the Jewish community that did not want this stuff to happen in their name. That minority has dwindled down to the single numbers today. So the predominant group out there of Jews are working on the side of these criminals. Even if they don't know what's being done exactly, they're still going to synagogues sponsored by them. They're still supporting charities inspired by them. And they're still padding the pockets of the Israeli criminal crime gang and these Nazis. And the fact is, right now, there is scant criticism from any organ of the press, both in Europe or in America. And that, you know, can I tell you, that even in the alternative press, you want to hear this? RBN is a CIA front, Republic Broadcasting, the first network that I went on. They haven't got a single thing up there about this criminal invasion of the Gaza concentration camp. Not one thing, and that's not by accident. And they've never reported on Jewish crimes. And half of their guests, I mean, half the guests and half of their hosts are Zionist Jews. And the same thing with Alex Jones. He said the other day that, oh, well, you know, between the Arabs and the Israelis, they're always fighting, he says. You know, I can't fault one group over the other because they're always doing this sort of thing, is what he said. The man's a Zionist. How much do you people need to see before you realize that Alex Jones is controlled opposition? Stop following this sack of shit. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, you are completely correct, Dale. Anybody who makes that kind of a claim about the scenario out there is a disinformation agent. There can be no doubt about that. This has been just so one-sided for the last 60 years for anybody to claim that, oh, it's been two sides clashing, etc., etc. This is just absolute rubbish. We have to recognize that it's not just an illegal invasion of the Gaza occupation concentration camp, Darrell. It's inhuman. The conduct of these people is inhuman. The Judeo-Nazi mindset is an inhuman mindset. And I'm sorry, I have to agree with you. We've been pushing this message out for 3.5 years, whatever now, about trying to get the good Jews to join this campaign.
There are a few out there, you know, Roseanne Barr called them Nazis. I mean, Roseanne Barr, a Jew, called these people Nazis. She had it right on. She nailed it. Now, this is from inside the Jewish community. There are people standing up across the America, but of course you're not hearing very much about it. However, the numbers in comparison to how many Jews there are out there staying silent, these people should be flipping out.
This is crucial, you see, because people have to understand this now, Darrell. To do nothing in the sight of oppression is to side with the oppressor.
That's exactly right.
There is no room for fence sitting in this one. And, you know, I'm not trying to do the Bush, you're either with us or with the terrorists. But you have to take a view. This is right or it's wrong.
Yep.
And if you're saying, well, I'm doing the Alex Jones wishy-washy, it's not this and it's not that, well, that's not acceptable. That is siding with the oppressor. And the fact of the matter is that there is a sizable minority of the Jewish community pushing this, maybe 20% who are actively behind it. There's probably, I don't know, another 70% who are saying nothing, and certainly less than 10%, and probably less than 5% who are actually speaking out against it. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking a small minority of that community, and the majority are guilty through their failure to criticize this mindset, this Judeo-Nazi mindset, in their own community, which means they're giving tacit approval to them, Darrell.
Well, you know, and you know, I've got another lump on your postulation when it comes to Russia. Okay, Pravda had a big front page piece put up that says that it's the Hamas's fault and that they're to blame and the whole bit. And you know, Pravda is nothing more than a spokesperson for government. So what we've got here is more evidence that the Russians are on board with these criminals, and they're not speaking out in large numbers. There's not an outrage. There's not a threatening. There's no saber rattling going on by Putin right now saying, enough now, or we're going to send some gunboats off the coast. None of that stuff. What he's been doing is maybe trying to sell a couple of weapons for his defense industry, but I don't see any support coming. And you know something? The more I look at it, the more I'm starting to find out I was right about this. But I always knew somehow that they would never let a country as big as Russia slip through their hands. They had a death grip on the Soviet Union, and all they did was shift some deck chairs around and basically call it something different. They said, you know, glasnost and perestroika, and it was the same group, you know. And the fact is now, I'm telling you, there's only a few of us out here in the world that have nailed this. You know, there's a couple of people, Ry Dawson's out there saying some stuff, a guy named Mark Parent, very good work, Mark, my hat's off to you. You've been putting some great stuff up on Wake Up From Your Slumber. There's a few people, a few places out there, but, you know, you have to remember that people like Alex Jones promoted the Loose Change video that pushed everyone away from the Israeli participation in 9/11, the murder of those 3,000. So what I'm saying to you is that the only time you'll find them blaming Israel is when they feel they have to. And it's only for a moment, and then they backtrack for the next 10 days in a row. The fact of the matter is the only group doing this at the leadership level are Judeo-Nazis and their henchmen. That is it. And that is, those are the bankers. Those are the people that run the drug companies. They run the agriculture companies, the Jewish company Monsanto and Cargill and all the rest of them. And the gold mining and all of the businesses that you can think of, General Electric, all the rest of them, Veolia, it doesn't matter. CBS, NBC, Hollywood, doesn't matter. All of the French TV channels, all of them. RTL in Germany, the same in Channel 4 in Britain is owned by Zionist Jews. It is the whole ball of wax, Muhammad. And anybody who says otherwise is a lying sack, and they need to be challenged. And aggressively these days. I'm getting so sick of seeing this stuff. And, you know, we do this, we do it over and over again, and now, because people aren't paying attention, I have to watch blown up children on my desktop here and wonder what in the heck has gone wrong with our world. Where are the people? Where's the outrage? Where is the screaming? Where is the tumbling of governments? Where is it?
We have a very, very sad situation where this silent majority is choosing to listen to the nonsense, the fabrications which are coming from the mainstream media because it suits them. They can turn around and say, well, you know, the mainstream media are doing an Alex Jones. Well, you know, we would like to tell the Israelis to stop this wholesale slaughter of innocent human beings, but there have been a few rockets fired. Hey, guess what, Daryl? It is a religious obligation for Muslims to engage in self-defense.
Is it an obligation of anybody who wants to breathe tomorrow?
Indeed, it is an obligation of common sense, but it's actually explicit in the Holy Quran that if you are attacked, it says the believers are those who defend themselves when great wrong is done against them. So, yeah, I would imagine killing six members of the government, refusing medical treatment, medical aid and food and water. If my father died in the Gaza concentration camp, because he was denied medical supplies, I'm within my rights as a Muslim, not rights, rather, under my obligation, to find who's responsible and take it to their front door. And I would imagine, as you say, Daryl, that anybody who wants to breathe tomorrow would be thinking in the same terms. Anybody who listens to the mainstream media nonsense that Hamas broke a truce. Hey, there was a truce in place for 6 months. It came to the end. We've now got interviews from the senior Hamas members who said, well, we wanted to extend the truce, but the Israelis refused. And people have asked Israelis to observe a truce now, and they're still refusing.
Yes.
Hamas won't want one. I don't want this to continue, but good grief, anybody who's got women and children in home is going to have to do something in response to this onslaught and this mass murder.
There have been 6 babies born on border crossings that died. We're talking about countless small fishing boats shot and sunk off the coast of Gaza while they're trying to collect food for the population. We're talking about Israel shutting off their water supply so nobody has drinking water. We're talking about pumping sewerage from these building projects they put up all around the West Bank on into these people's neighborhoods, bulldozing their olive trees that have been there for hundreds of years, destroying their homes, cutting off their electricity, shutting down their schools, murdering their leadership. Just an absolute act of murder and mayhem done by nothing short of monstrous Nazis. And the fact is, the rest of us are sitting here watching this all the time. I've done dozens of programs, more than dozens, on this same issue. I've had experts. I've spoken to the Bishop of Jerusalem. You know, it's not just Muslims. If you're thinking, you know, people out there have been brainwashed to the point of thinking Muslims are involved, there are a large percentage of Gazans that are Christian. And there's West Bank people from the Palestinian community that are Palestinian Christians. And It doesn't matter. Anybody who's a human being, forget the religion. How about the human beings there? Doesn't matter. We're talking about psychopathic murderers, sociopathic, psychopathic, sick murderers, and we're talking about a defenseless population being preyed upon. That's what we're talking about here. And how much more are we supposed to take and sit by here and accept? How much more? I can't stand to watch it anymore. I'm sick and tired of letting this happen on my desktop and watch this all the time. We have to put a stop to it. And they've got an implosion ready for us. And Mohammed, if people out there think that this stuff's not going to visit them in their neighborhood, get a grip. Take a look around you, Britain. Your country is a lockdown prison. You guys are the most controlled nation on earth. And America, nobody's going to have a job and everybody's armed. You do the math.
The answer is that to do nothing is actually to be sat in the cab of the bulldozer running over Rachel Corrie. Rachel Corrie was a Western citizen on a Western passport. The idea that these people would not dream of doing this kind of thing to anything except sand niggers. The nonsense. They will happily murder members of the press from the West. They will happily murder Western citizens. They've murdered blacks from Africa. They've murdered Chinese. They've murdered Europeans. They are not prejudiced in their Gentiles. A Gentile's a Gentile, and the only good one is a dead one. It is a Judeo-Nazi mindset that has to be stopped.
Yeah.
And that doing nothing, listening to the mainstream media, when the internet is there, you can walk into your local library anywhere in the UK, and half an hour of serious looking, you'll find I Am the Witness or similar kinds of sites. You'll see all the alternative views of 9/11. You'll see the independent film footage of what's going on in Gaza right now. It's available to everybody and anybody. You seek and ye shall find. That's what Jesus, peace be upon him, and his mother said. Just look, you'll find it. It's there. But there's none so blind, Daryl, as those who will not see. There's none so deaf as those who will not hear. Well, to those people who will not see and will not hear, they are currently firing phosphorus bombs into the Gaza concentration camp because they're not doing nothing. They're not doing anything to resist. They're not doing anything to stand up. They're not doing anything to be counted. They're not even prepared to educate themselves into the facts.
Well, but see, a lot of people think this plague is going to pass over their door. Well, guess what? It's not. Mohammed, you know, in parallel to this Nazi murder of the Gazans by these Jews, we've got Jewish-inspired implosion happening around our globe, you know, by evidence of this, of course, this lack of delivery of anything. The food shortages are on the horizon. We've got mayhem in the streets. We've got police actions that are going to start happening. Look. This is the real kickoff of a murderous and mayhem period in human history, and how it turns out is up to the people listening right now. And I got some encouraging things to say. One of the encouraging things to say is we do not need a majority to win this. What we need is a dedicated minority to win this. Do you know there were only single numbers of percentage in the Americas that defeated the British in the revolution? It did not require the full support of society. It required a strong minority to stand up and say, we have had enough and we will do what it takes to end this. And that's what's needed. And see, that cascading of information that gets everybody off their chairs and out to the streets and saying that this is enough, like the Greeks have done, is a 7 to 10%. 7 to 10 is all we need. 1 in 10 people, and we can stop these people and get them out of our lives permanently. And you know, the other day when I was talking to David Pidcock, him making the statements that he made, there were some things that I wanted desperately to say something about. And you know as well as I do, I live in a place where my front door will be kicked in, and I will be dragged out by the hair, I am sure. They have already prosecuted people in my region, in the capital city of my region, have been put in prison for speaking about the subject that he made a false comment about, made a false comment in his statements. And I was not able to correct him. The reason I could not correct him, and I got some emails about this, and I'm going to address this. The reason I could not correct these false statements was because for me to do so would have shown me to be a person standing up for the truth, but falling afoul of a ridiculous law that is in existence here in France and very powerfully enforced.
And also in Europe, in generally, yes. You know, this is also the case here in the UK, and it also limits your ability to travel if you are labelled as such. For that reason, I'm aware that David in the past has made statements very much to the contrary, but he's very conscious of where he can and can't travel if you make those kind of statements. So you have to be very careful, and it's maybe helpful to make statements to the contrary when we know they're not true. It is an important issue, these elements of facts of history, but they're not the most important things. And
well, but you know what, Mohammed, I am a purist here, and I try to set the right example here by not allowing known falsehoods to be passed around on my programming. But there are a couple of things that I can't even address here correctly. Now, one of the things I would like to address that he said was that the Jews had a right to that area. Now, let me address this in my own little way here. Let's take, for example, there are 35 million Chinese Christians. Now, the Chinese Christians are from a race of people that are the same as the rest of the Chinese population, you know, either Cantonese or Mandarin or whatever group of people they come from, but their religious faith is in Christianity. Let's say they decided at the UN that the Chinese Christians have been persecuted in China, which they have, by the way. They've been persecuted there. So in order to save these Christians, we're going to move them to France, and we're going to kick all the French out. And now we're going to give the nation of France to these Chinese Christians to live in. And if anybody in France says anything about it, we're going to give these Chinese Christians the weapons to murder all these Frenchmen on the way out as they're being kicked out. And then if any of them are left, like on the tip of Britannia or on the tip of near Marseille or something, on this little enclave piled up high, we're going to add to that super powerful bomb and give it to these Chinese Christians to kill off the rest of these Frenchmen. Now, there is absolutely zero difference between what I just said and what's been done in Israel, in that criminal Nazi state of Israel. The fact of the matter is, these people have no more claim to that area than a Chinese Christian would have to France.
You know, Daryl, I came across a link on the internet yesterday to a file which had been put up on YouTube, it must be almost 3 years ago now, beginning of 2006, where somebody put a pastiche together of one of the early audio files where you and I were discussing the 13th Tribe.
Yep.
I'd never seen this thing before. It was very interesting, The 13th Tribe by Arthur Koestler. And we discussed, for the benefit of Christians out there, the importance of these people being Ashkenazi.
Yep.
In that somewhere, somewhere between 80 to 90% of world Jewry are Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
Even if we say we're Christians and we believe the Bible is the word of God, and we believe that God did give the land of modern-day Palestine to the children of Israel historically, okay, we'll accept that as a historical fact, and that they've got some right as the children of Israel, as Israelites and not Israelis, as Israelites of land. Okay, we'll acknowledge that. But what these Christians have to do is still live in the real world. And the real world says that 85% of the Jews in the world are Ashkenazi.
That's right.
This means that they're not descendants of Abraham. As was pointed out in the 13th tribe, they lived in Khazaria.
Yes.
You know, in that...